You'd sure like to have access to the Situation Room sometimes, wouldn't you? A live feed camera out of the Situation Room would have been telling yesterday. All indications and reports are that the president had approved a military strike at the Iranians, a limited controlled response, but then at the last minute said, you know what, we're not going to do that. Hold on. And he stopped, and we want to know what the math was on that. What was the reason for the restraint? What was the calculus there? Joining me, Congressman Tim Walberg from Michigan's 7th Congressional District. Congressman, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you. Welcome back yourself.
Thank you so much. Tell me, any word on Capitol Hill, any indication you're getting as to why it appeared that the military strike, a measured response, had been approved, and then the president saw something he didn't like or decided maybe he needed more information. Whatever it was, he decided to take a pause, which I'm perfectly fine with. What do you know?
Well, I don't know much more than that, other than the fact that talk around the Capitol here that the president, of course, gives the appearance, and I think rightfully so, that he trusts his instincts. And when his instincts don't match up with what he really feels needs to be, is asking to be done, I guess I should say it that way, is asking to be done by
right.
by some of his advisors, he's willing to go the opposite direction. I think there are some in the defense area that they know we have the weapons, we have the capabilities, we could really push back heavily. And when you take down one of our drones in an unprovoked fashion, I think there was probably some desire to flex the muscles. But the president, I believe, understands that we do this cautiously. If you start something like this, you have to be willing to finish it, which means we can finish it, of course. But we will suffer some of the consequences that come with it that may not be productive for the agenda that the president has right now for the country. So I think that's why Congress has to be very careful that we don't tie the hands of the administration. They have the interests at heart. They have the intelligence that backs up what they need to do. And so let's move cautiously. We don't want a war. I don't think American people want a war. This would produce some sort of a war, no matter how long it would take. And is it the right thing to do? And I think the president saw yesterday, no, it's not right at this point in time. There are other things that we can do and may, in fact, be doing as you and I speak.
I think he showed great restraint. And again, I'd like to know what the formula was that had him arrive. Maybe it was his gut. Congressman, maybe you're right. Maybe there's more to it. Maybe the Iranians, it looks like the Iranians are trying to provoke a fight with the United States because they are being punished so badly by these sanctions that are in place. And make no mistake, politically speaking, the Democrats would like nothing more than to have something out there they could call Trump's war that they could hang around his neck between now and 2020. But we'll keep an eye on that and see where it goes. I want to ask you about a couple of other things. I saw this headline about an amendment that you put forth, Congressman, and I'm like, how does that even make sense? How did we even get to a point that we would have this conversation? But here it is. Here's the headline. House adopts Walberg Amendment to ban taxpayer dollars for the Taliban. And I read this. I said, taxpayer dollars for the Taliban? How could that even be possible? But it's true. Apparently, the Defense Department asked Congress for funding to reimburse the Taliban's travel expenses. How does that even happen? I mean, come on.
Some things, truth is stranger than what is reality is stranger
certainly.
Than fiction. When you're, you got me laughing.
Well, you know, I mean, it's absurd. I mean, I look at this, I'm laughing, except that it's so, it's sad. But you put this amendment forth, and it was approved.
We'll give
no money to Taliban.
Yeah, I've been pushing back against a lot of our spending that's going to be going on in Afghanistan for the past number of years. SIGR, which is the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, has put out all sorts of information that have been very helpful to me and other members of Congress to see that we are wasting money in Afghanistan for construction projects, et cetera, that never get done. They don't get to the proper function. Warlords and others take it. It's used for inappropriate reasons. Our taxpayer dollars are being wasted. And when I came across this, it got me going again. Spending to pay Taliban officials travel expenses to come to negotiations with us or otherwise. Come on.
Who is my question? who would be fool enough to submit those? We got receipts here for the Taliban. Apparently, they took a couple of trips here, and we're going to need to pick up. I mean, seriously?
I mean, we're a wonderful, warm-hearted country.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that people, when they are attempting to do good things for us, which we can just simply assume for the Taliban, that we take care of their expenses.
We're kind-hearted.
And take you out one at a time, then come to the table. We don't have to pay your travel expenses.
Yeah, being kind-hearted is one thing. Being soft in the head is something entirely different. And I mean, good for you, Congressman, for saying, you know what? No, we're not going to be paying for the Taliban to, we're not picking up the gas check, all right? We're not doing that. And something else I saw here, it's been a hot button issue both in Michigan, where we live, and across this country, and that is asset forfeiture, because law enforcement agencies have been very aggressive about asset forfeiture. The problem is, on occasion, they would get ahead of themselves, in my estimation, where they would confiscate property, whether it be a house or a vehicle, whatever it may be, before the prosecution had run its course. And so that was a concern to me. I've never been in that situation, obviously, but if I had been and I hadn't been convicted of a crime and my property was seized anyway, that would be a problem. So you got together. The bipartisanship is not dead, because you and Jamie Raskin of Maryland got together and pulled in the reins of the federal government's power to seize people's property. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Jamie and I have worked together on the full issue of asset forfeiture, civil asset forfeiture. Criminal asset forfeiture is different. I think that's being used appropriately. But civil asset, we're taking away people's due process. We simply take their money, garnish their bank account, take their vehicles, whatever, without any due process, and it's then their responsibility to prove that they're innocent. Now, I don't have any good feelings toward criminals, and sometimes we pick them up. We pick up people who are doing things that are money laundering, et cetera.
Sure.
But in America, we still give them even the right of due process, and I think that's what we ought to do. So there's one aspect of that where there's a adoptive sharing that goes on, where the feds say, we will contract with the local authorities to do our work in a civil issue, and if you confiscate that stuff for the federal benefit, we will give you upwards of 80% return on your efforts. That is pretty tempting.
And it certainly is.
Our state has done a number of things already in trying to correct civil asset forfeiture. And so I just wanted to make sure that the feds did not superimpose themselves and go over the states on these issues in adoptive seizure. And we got that accomplished. That's just one aspect of civil asset forfeiture.
Just one aspect, but, you know,
to deal with.
A lot of things going on Capitol Hill that we don't hear much about because of all the other noise and bigger issues, I suppose, that draw our attention. But these are important topics. Glad you're on the front lines out there, Congressman, and thank you for the update. Always appreciate you being here.
Great to be with you. You have a great rest of the week.
Thank you. Congressman Tim Walberg, he represents Michigan's 7th Congressional District. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Friday. We'll be right back.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
Did you know that in 81% of violent incidents in U.S. schools, at least one other person had information that a school attack was planned but failed to report it?
How many lives could have been saved if just one person had said something?
OK to Say can change that. OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
The tip information is confidential, so you never have to worry about retaliation, rejection, or being labeled a snitch. It's that easy.
You might be the one person who helps to prevent a tragedy.
Take a stand and protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MAB.
Hey, parents. It's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Mom, not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented preteen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.